Good morning.
Hi, Rob. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How you doing?
Good, Roxana. Ricardo, how are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So, what's on your mind this morning?
Excuse me. Go ahead, Roxana.
I didn't say anything.
Well. So just been working, setting up appointments with possible COIs, looking for board involvements as well. We're meeting with the president of a foundation that we've been involved with in the past, now in the next week or so. Roxana has been attending the Wednesday meetings that she's going to, and she's making some good connections there as well.
Great.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm here, yep. Taking notes. What else?
Been listening to the book. You said to re-listen to it 5 times.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to listen through it 5 times already. But then I also notice on one of the chapters, it tells you to listen to that specific chapter 5 times.
It does. It tells you in the book.
In the audio book, it does.
Oh, that's genius. I didn't even know I said that. That's great.
Yeah. Let me see the chapter, because it doesn't I think it's chapter 17. It says to re-listen to that it's chapter 17. To re-listen to that chapter 5 times repeatedly.
So, well, let me ask you, if you're actually doing this, how does it feel? What's happening when you do that?
Well, right now I'm redoing the whole book 5 times, so I'm around my 3rd time, and then I'm going to focus on the chapter 17 the 5 times. But, you know, you listen to it, and sometimes you get things, and then you don't hear it for a while, and then it hits you at another time.
Yeah. So your mind wanders a little, right?
Yep.
Right. Well, that's okay though, because usually it's wandering in a positive direction. Do you find that your mind wanders positively?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, you start thinking of different ideas and things like that, but sometimes it just wanders, to be honest. Maybe it's my stomach growling or something.
Yeah, you turn to food.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, any other benefits of listening to it? I mean, what else are you getting out of it?
Well, expanding on the original book, right? You're getting more into asset acquisition. Learning more on the givers versus takers and matchers. You know, we actually we apply it to our regular everyday life, right? You know, it's that person is a is a taker. He's not a giver. He's a
yep. We've come across some takers.
Yeah.
Sure, you're gonna. It's part of humanity, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So we had a, I don't know if it's a, it's a negative event, but everything happens for a reason. We rarely ever lose clients, ever. And Bobby Levinson, my mentor, called last week to tell us that he moved his account.
Your mentor did?
Yep.
Why?
Well, he has 700 with us. He has 2.5 million at Merrill. We tried to bring him on Supernova. He says he doesn't need that. Every time we recommend anything, he never really takes our advice. He does what he does. You know, he buys a stock, he wants to sell it. If it goes down a point, you know, he is impatient. And we put up with all of it. You know, he'll call me and ask me for the headquarters. He uses me like a concierge, you know, secretary or something. And I don't mind. I've always, you know, because of the relationship, you know, been there and available. So initially he said that it's not us. It's that he had 11 doctor's appointments last week. And he has some stock with us. He doesn't know what's where. And he really needs to consolidate everything. And that Merrill's reports are better. And he gave me 20,000 different excuses. We feel that we've never had a good relationship with the wife. We've really tried to engage her. And the last two times we went over to visit with him, she didn't even acknowledge us. She didn't even say hello. So we feel it's coming from the right. And, you know, he's slowing down. He's in his upper 80s. And then, so we ended it at that. Of course, I cried probably for 2 days. And as I explained to him, it's not because of the account. It's because of the relationship. And then he called me the following day, angry. And, like, trying to make me feel bad and guilty and telling me that he's going to meet with me. I don't know if he was upset and he didn't know how to handle it, or I really don't know. He said that when he comes down here, he's going to meet with me because he didn't want to do it over the phone, but it just happened. And he wants to meet with me because we do a cookie-cutter approach with him. And that if I'm losing him, I'm going to lose a lot of their clients. And I explained to him, Bob, that's the one thing we're known for. We do not do cookie-cutter approach. You know, we meet with our clients. I went through our whole process and how he never wanted to accept it. And he got really mad, and we ended the conversation. And I said, I keep telling him. And he said, well, I know you're angry. And I said, no, I'm not angry. Actually, I love you. I care for you. I'm disappointed, but I'm not angry. And that's it. It was bizarre.
Part of it, I think, is the aging process. He's just aging out, unfortunately. So I would just, remember our model where it's customer, client, advocate, ambassador. He never made it from customer.
No.
You know, he talked about being an ambassador, but he really wasn't. So.
No.
Well, that's what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a customer. For us to call him today with buy this stock and then call him tomorrow and tell him to sell the same stock.
Right.
Type thing.
We tried how many stock ideas, and then we tried doing that once a week. And Rick would spend all this time looking up research, and he wouldn't buy anything. And then Merrill would recommend the same thing, and then it would go up 20 points, and he would give Merrill the credit. And it happened continuously, like Netflix. Rick recommended Netflix when it was,
at $100.
$100.
That's not the only thing. The only thing is that he's you know, going back to that taker thing, he's a taker. He likes to give himself a lot of importance. And the broker that he's dealt with at Merrill, his father was the former chair,
you know,
one of the former chairmen.
It's Lonnie Stephen's son.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that he...
Lonnie Steffens has donated, I think, $25 million to Dartmouth. So because of this, they were able to jump him on board to this concierge medical service where anytime he has a doctor's appointment, they treat him, you know, through the concierge program because of Lonnie's relationship with Dartmouth. So that's another thing that, you know, didn't help us.
Sure, yeah. You just, you know, he just liked Mr. He was Mr. Big Time.
Exactly. That's exactly it. He likes to feel like he's big time. Like, well, how come, you know, it's cookie cutter that we have these monthly calls because we're not calling him every day with stock ideas. You know, that's basically a losing proposition. When we had his accounts and manage advisories,
yeah,
the performance was through the roof.
Yeah. He's just old, okay?
You know, and
that's what I'm serious about, this, you know, customer client thing. If you don't have them as clients, they're all at risk. Every customer is at risk. You know that, right?
Yep. That was an eye opener because we keep some clients, customers. Excuse me. We just keep them there because they've always been around, and they don't want to make a decision, but. At the end of the day, we have to make the decision. Either they're on board or they're not.
Yeah, I would get rid of every single client. I mean, every single customer.
Yeah.
Okay, I would get them up or out. Up or out, fill or kill. No more of this crap. Seriously.
Yeah.
No more. You're not servants. You're not first year people. You know?
Exactly.
Right.
You got to get control here and give yourself some dignity and just say, hey, you know, we love you. We'd love you to be part of our team, but if you can't be, then we'll find somebody that maybe you're a better fit with.
Right.
Okay, because I think this is a really good experience for both of you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had no control. Remember, there are three things to be a client. They have to have done a financial plan, which he had not done, I bet. He has to pay a fee. And you have to have control.
Yeah. We did not.
Okay, so back to the drawing board. You know, go back and look. And everyone that is not a client, you put a big circle around them, and you give them 3 months to get up or out. Okay?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're even going to do it with Melanie's book. There's some customers that, there's some that have completely bought into our monthly calls, and there's some that just are reluctant, and they're not paying a fee, they're brokerage accounts, and there's no point in keeping them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a relationship, right, guys? I mean, this is a relationship business.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have no relationship, you have no respect. They don't see the value in your monthly call. They don't see the value in your calls. Then find someone that they will find value with. Make them happy.
Right.
That would make two people happy. You and them.
Yes.
And it, you know what else it'll do? It'll give you more of a sense of urgency in prospecting.
Yes.
Yeah, you cut some of the, you know, you cut some of the cords. They really aren't that valuable to you, but you feel like, oh God, we only have so many clients now. We got to get moving.
Right.
So, and they do take time. Think about the time that you spent with this guy, all in the hope that someday he'd give you a bunch of referrals, which he didn't do.
Well, for me, honestly, this is just speaking from the heart. It was more of a loyalty thing. I would never, ever get rid of him because of the role he had in bringing me onto the business. And perhaps my thinking was wrong there.
Yep. Well, keep in mind, here's the game. Everybody wants to put you in a box. Okay? In your whole life, everybody that knows you has you in a box. Now, it may be the box that you want to be in. It may be a box that you don't want to be in. All right? It may be not a box of your choosing. So the question is, how do you find out what box they have you in, and are you in the right box? Because you're going to be in a box. The question is, are you in the right box? All right? So he had you in his box, and he did not want you out of that box. There was a perfect example of someone that was determined not to let you get out of the box.
Right.
Okay, so he had you in as a new FA, and he was in control.
Yes.
And he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he was going to use you as a broker. You were his another secondary broker. Now, you saw yourself as a financial consultant, financial advisor. You saw yourself as a financial planner in helping people with their whole lives. He did not like you in that box. He wanted you as a broker.
I never thought of it that way.
Okay. So what you have to do is break out of his box and get into your box and then convince him that this is good for him. If he won't let you do that, then you have to say goodbye.
I never, ever thought of it that way. This is definitely a mental breakthrough for me.
Well, and just think about it. Even with the two of you, you have each other in a box. Okay? And you've got roles and responsibilities and things. And when you try and change your box, the other person doesn't like it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So don't think that it happens once in a while. It happens with every single relationship. So the question is, what is their perception of you, and then what is your perception of you, and do they coincide? And if they don't coincide, then you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a job to do. You've got a sales job to do. So what you have to do is find an environment where you can talk seriously with them. I would suggest it's over lunch or dinner. You sit, a pleasant experience. Start out with a very pleasant experience, a lovely dinner, a nice lunch. And then reintroduce yourself as if you never were introduced to them before. And one of the good ways to do it is to say, you know, we've hired a consultant. He's on retainer with us. We work with him every other week. We've been working with him now for over a year. And this is what we've discovered.
Yeah.
And this is what we've done to make our practice better for you.
Yeah. I did that with him.
Yeah, but he didn't let you out of the box.
Oh, no, he said that it was a waste of money for me to be paying for a consultant. He can give me, you know, like pretty much he could give me a few tips as to what to do. And
Yeah, he loved you. He liked you as his little kid, his little intern that he was going to help. And And that was the way it was going to be. I mean, you know, Roxana, women in particular are very easily manipulated into these boxes.
I know. I'm guilty. And then my the fact that I'm a very empathetic person and I try to relate to other people and, you know, be gracious to them kind of gets abused sometimes.
Of course it does. It's a control thing. And you're a pleaser, like many women. This is a gross generality.
No. I don't get offended, Rob.
Right. I mean, it's a gross generality, but it's true. Women want to please. They don't want to have confrontations.
No.
You know, they want to make things smooth. They want things to go well. They're nurturers. And so, I mean, look, there is a difference, okay? And so what you have to do is recognize your differences and then say, I'm not going to get stuck in that box. And therefore, I must be assertive because that it's just like politics. They'll define you if you don't define yourself. And if you don't stand up periodically and make a statement, a strong statement, they will. So it just is the way it is. And, you know, you've got to have a strong, that's why when we talk about your purpose and your mission and your vision of who you are, it's critical to be able to articulate that.
Yeah.
This is who we are. This is who we serve. This is the value we bring. Okay? It's not for everybody. Well, just think about this. Think about coaching, right? Think about the people in your office. Who among them would be good people for me to coach? And who would be a complete waste of time? Okay?
Right.
You know that, right? You'd say, Rob, do not waste your time. That
they're
person.
Cold-minded, they're set. Yeah, they're set in their ways. They're not coachable.
So I'm saying to you, Roxana, do not waste your time. Those people are not coachable. They do not value what you do. Get rid of them. They bring you down. They make you feel less than you are. And you don't develop a pride in your practice.
Yeah.
It's so true because one of the things I told Roxana was that they treated us like the help.
That's exactly what Rick said. With the help. The help was not pleasing enough.
And that's up to you guys, right? That's your own self-image. If you're at a minimum of $10 million and you had 50 clients, how would you act?
Right.
And they're all paying a 1% fee. Okay? How would you act? You'd be very proud of your practice, right? I want you to act that way. Here's what happens. Confident people attract others. You know it. You can feel it. Somebody comes in the room, they're confident, they just have an air about them. That's what you want to have. And you can develop it. You can develop it. You guys have got it. You just don't have it with some people. So you want to make sure that everybody that you do business with respects you and treats you the way you should be treated. Because guess what? They won't treat your team nicely either. If they treat you like that, if they treat you like that, what do you think they do with your staff?
This is how he was treating Anthony.
And Juan.
And Juan. He said that they're horrible, that they should fire them. And now that I'm saying all these things out loud, I realize how much I was putting up with.
Right. You know, it's the abused spouse thing. You just take it, you know? Just don't.
What did you say, Robert?
Okay.
What did you say?
I said it's the abused. It's the abused spouse thing, you know, where you just do it to keep the marriage together.
I know the feeling.
I don't abuse you.
Oh, that's great. It happens both ways.
Yeah. No, but it's true. You hit the nail on the head with, you know, we thought we were doing them a favor. By keeping them on board, and really we were just hurting ourselves and not satisfying them anyways.
Yeah, so we have to go through the book, Rick, and do what super. Rob, you must pull out your hairs after every call. You're like, how the hell do I have to tell you? Follow the book. Follow what it says.
That's why I want you to listen to it 5 times. Well, here, I mean, you know, it's like you guys. I mean, you expect your clients to understand a certain amount of what you're teaching them. But it's the same thing. I would prefer to discuss with you your meeting that you had with a board, you know, the director. I would like to discuss with you how that went and the nuances of it. I don't want to have to sit and explain to you the difference between a center of influence and a mastermind group. I want you to know the material, right? If you know the material, then we can have a conversation that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so that's the point. You need to learn the skills so that we can play the game of tennis. You know, and then you go out and play your matches and then come back and tell me how did it go? You know, did you win? Did you lose? What happened? Why, you know, where do you think it went wrong for you? But if you don't play any matches, I can't help you, right? As a tennis coach, I need you to play tournaments.
Yeah.
Here, I need you to be out there meeting with centers of influence, developing your niches, developing your centers of influence within the niches, and then asking for and getting introductions, right? If you're not doing that, then, you know, you're not doing the work. I need you to do the work. And so that's fun for me and fun for you, because then you come back and you go, hey, you know, either it worked or it didn't work. It doesn't matter, frankly, whether it worked or it didn't work. The key is that you tried it out. Now we need to try and see it, why it didn't work or why it did work, and then make adjustments. That's the key. The key is to keep on pushing and doing, playing in the tournaments. I don't care if you lose. I just need you to play, because then I can help you. So tell me about the meetings with the director, you know, the board of directors.
Well, we haven't met with her yet. We're meeting with her, I think, next Thursday.
Okay, good.
And then we have another
time. Yeah, next
we have
Thursday.
Another COI meeting. Our client, one of our top amazing clients, a tax accountant that I've actually talked to over the years. We're going to be meeting with her. We've already, it's going to be in October because she's working on deadlines now, and then we'll be traveling, so later in October. And then we're meeting again with that, those COIs that we met with like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Ralph Nardi, that we thought we had a good connection, the three-hour meeting we had with them, because we're recommending Clara, our largest client, our $25 million client.
Oh, great.
And she wants us to join in on the meeting, so it'll be Rick, myself, the attorney, and her son.
And her what?
Her
and
son.
Her son.
Okay. Well, that's got to be impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So following
and
that meeting, we'll be having them come to our office.
Yeah.
Now, is this an estate planning attorney, or is this?
Estate.
Yeah. And this is the second recommendation. We recommended my best friend, the Lawrences. We recommend they're about eight to ten, well, with their home, probably $10 million.
Good for you. Okay, good. So it's a volume thing. You know, it's a volume thing. You need to just keep the volume up. Keep the activity. And then we'll have, you know, there'll be lots. I'm excited about your, because you're excited about your tax attorney or your tax accountant. That sounded like a great meeting you're going to have.
Yes.
So any questions from listening to the book? Anything you don't understand still?
Rick have been listening to it. I'm guilty that I have not. So I don't have any questions. I have to really start listening.
So is it a question of you're not in a car, or you just didn't get around to plugging it in when you're in the car?
The truth, I've been listening to sermon in the car.
Okay, so you gotta promote me to the position of sermon. This will be sermon on the pinnacle, not the mount. The pinnacle of supernova. I gotta find some room in your list of sermons for Rob now. Did I not help today? Yes.
Absolutely.
Like a sermon.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot.
Like a sermon, so give me credit. Put me in there. Because we've got to take advantage of this work I did, and then we can have more fun on these calls. The skills, we need the skills. I want you to have the skills so that when you go into that center of influence meeting, you know exactly what to say. Exactly. Okay. It's important. It's really important. And if I've left something out, you have a question, then you bring it up. And then we have really valuable conversations. I mean, let's face it, this was a really good situation, but it was brought on by an event that happened. Without that event, you see, I can't be of much help. So I need positive events as well as others, right? So we need to have things happen in order for us to have good conversations. It's like when one of the kids comes home from school and says, you say, how was school? And they say, fine. What can you do, right? You can't help. There's no help.
Right.
If, on the other hand, they come home and say, I had a problem. And you go, good. What was it? then you might be able to help. So we need action. Okay. So what else?
I don't have anything else. Do you, Rick?
No, it's just we're going through and getting people on, you know, getting meetings set up with possible COIs and interviewing COIs is what I should say.
Okay, how about the, so you're going to dust off the pipeline tool, right?
Yes.
Dust off the pipeline tool and make sure that's a part of every Monday meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you guys are married, you still need to have that Monday meeting and the Friday meeting. Okay?
Yes.
The Friday meeting is about roles and responsibilities. The Monday meeting is about acquisition, and we work on the pipeline. And the pipeline doesn't just go to suspects, prospects, clients, it goes all the way to ambassadors. And
Monday meeting, you said, was pipeline?
The Monday meeting is pipeline. It's all about acquisition. The Friday meeting is about roles and responsibility and outcomes. How did we do in terms of assets, business, revenues? Well, what are we going to talk about with our clients next month? What's our training mission? You know, what's our 24-month calendar look like? That's the Friday meeting. That's the organization accountability leadership meeting, the five-star meeting. Five-star meeting on Friday, pipeline acquisition meeting on Monday. Okay. And I'm telling you, it takes some time for each of those meetings. You need to give yourself 20 minutes at least for each of those meetings. Okay?
Yes.
So back to the drawing board.
Yep.
Fundamentals are key. Fundamentals. Get it right. Everything else follows. Okay, guys. Talk to you next 2 weeks.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Rob. Take care.
Bye-bye.